Greetings, my brothers and sisters, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I imagine that Jesus must have been going through a really rough time just prior to the Sermon on the Mount. This is where this takes place. He had been given a lot of resistance for his message, lots of pushback, frustration, and heartache over it all. And often when we are rejected and dismissed, we give up. I know for me, rejection is a very hot button. When I'm rejected or dismissed, I get angry and hurt. And that hurt leads to big anger. I become embittered. And in the end, I shut down and I give up. Does that sound familiar to any of you? But I don't see Jesus as the embittered type. Jesus has a strong constitution. Jesus doesn't let things get to him. Jesus never gives up, no matter how many times we push back, reject, or just dismiss him. Often when we act in this way, it's because what he's asking of us is just too much work. It might be too hard and uncomfortable at times. And we don't like the difficult work of surrender, because surrender takes trust. And let's face it, we like things to be easy, comfy, and consoling. We don't really like being challenged. But in today's gospel, Jesus is getting pretty tough, like I said to the kids, on how we should should live our lives. First as human beings, and then even more importantly, as Christians. He's reminding us of the days of old, the Ten Commandments that were given to us. I'm sure people then, just like we do now, we kind of forget the basics. And his demands are very, very clear. Don't be angry with people. Don't say bad things about other people. Everyone who looks at a woman lustfully and every woman that looks at a man lustfully has already committed adultery with that person in his or own heart. Then he says, don't lie. Don't lie. Really. Don't lie. Come on, Jesus. Now, that's going a little too far. We understand not disparaging people. We understand not going to bed angry. We know that. We know not to objectivize people. We know that. But don't lie. Isn't lying almost something that some people do every day without even thinking? It can become a coping and a survival mechanism. But Jesus is really serious about this. Could you imagine knowing a person that would never deceive you, that would never talk behind your back, that would actually 100% of the time come through with what they said they would do? A person that would be really, truly honest. This would be a very amazing person, right? That's what Jesus is asking us to be. And it's a long, hard, difficult road to be that person. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. There is no standing in the middle of the road. If you stand in the middle of the road, it could be a precarious place to be. We cannot please everyone all of the time. Being a Christian and following the message of Jesus' example is not for part-timers or for those sometimers or those who say, well, I was born Lutheran. I was born Roman Catholic. I was born into it. It's what I am. Or whatever denomination. That's the way it's always been. It's part of my identity. It's just what I do. Jesus thinks different. I'd like to quote from C.S. Lewis. This is what he had to say. If you want a religion to make you feel really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity. Christianity takes courage, real courage. And it takes things and people that it takes us facing people that we don't want to face, situations we don't want to do, things that we just would rather ignore. Being Christian is not a hobby or even part of our identity. That's not what Jesus is asking for us. What he is describing is something that seeps into your spirit, where no part of you is left untouched. Not one part of your life is not being a Christian. Don't hold on to your anger with people. That's another one, a good one. I'm Italian. I was raised. It is, unfortunately, part of me. I don't like that part of me. I work every day not to want to take out revenge or hold a grudge or just don't send that Christmas card. I didn't get one first. It's part of our upbringing. But that is just a part of us. Christianity is who we are. So don't be angry. Listen, we're going to get angry. We all do. But don't sit with it. Don't let it be to the point where you're yelling out names like idiot, jerk, you moron, and a whole lot worse that I would never say in church. But we know we do that. Sometimes we do that on the road. Just saying. I try not to. Because when we get to that point where we are cursing and yelling out, your relationship with that person, and you are in relationship with them, is further pushed away and further severed. If you are separated with someone, angry with someone, hurt by someone, someone you are close to, or someone that's just a little more than an acquaintance, Christ is challenging you and me to deal with it, to heal it. Now, it may necessarily not mean that you're going to have a sit down and talk to them and hashing it out. Sometimes those things are not possible. But we are called to release that anger. And what this is all really about is forgiveness and surrender of that anger. And it doesn't mean when you forgive that you say and dismiss what that person did to you is okay. It's not. But you've gone beyond that and you go to forgiveness. And there's a wonderful thing about forgiveness. It's for us. It's not for them. It's to heal what can become a cancer within you that will eat away at you, that will prevent you from being the Christian that you are created to be. It will go into all branches of your life. Forgiveness is the ultimate truth and love in Jesus Christ. Know Jesus has your back when you forgive. The cool thing about it is you can forgive someone that's already passed. You can forgive someone you know you're never going to see again. They don't have to be in front of you. Forgiveness is truly an amazing gift. And that forgiveness will heal you in your spirit. Today's gospel also says, come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you'll be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Pretty strong image, Jesus. Prisons, guards. He's taking this whole gospel very literal. I'm sure your cut off your eye and your hand falls into that category. It are the things that make us sin that we should be cut off from. But right here in the beginning, come to terms. What that means is forgiving. If we don't forgive, we are in our prison. This self-imposed incarceration. We allow anger to imprison us. It holds us back, and it keeps us from the full relationship with God. Anger, my brothers and sisters, is a sickness, an illness, one that we can heal from. You will not get out until you pay the last penny. In other words, you will never be out of pain and you will never be able to fully connect with the Spirit until we are free and forgive. Here's another beauty, and we all have to know this. Jesus meant it when he said, do not look lustfully at a woman or a man. Really, Jesus? Do you see what goes on down here? You don't even have to be looking for it. When an image pops up on your computer screen, your TV, or your cell phone, and they find you. And we might say, it's no big deal. I didn't go searching for it. It just happens. But this does happen. When we diminish a person and reduce them, that person becomes about us. What we need, what we want fulfilled. And in our moment of loneliness, they become our property in our minds. And I'm not over-exaggerating this. This is Christianity. This is the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus sees us, and we are responding to our sexual desires in our loneliness. And when we do that, we open the doors for sin. And that never really works out. What he's saying is respect your sisters and honor your brothers. See them as unique and the extraordinary gift. Don't diminish them in your mind. And that's tough. But the next time we might feel that lull to take a longer look at the screen, or to create an image in our mind of another person to our own satisfaction, we all should just say, stop, turn away, and say no. And rethink instead by saying, thank you, God, for the gift of my sexuality, for it is a beautiful, extraordinary gift, a powerful force that is ours and within us, that was meant to be to bring us closer in relationship and in love with one another. It was given to us to unite, not to separate. Anger, lust, and lying, everyday ordinary sin, which somehow has become part of the normal fabric of our lives. Normal stuff. Things that we make deals with. Things that we turn a blind eye to. But Christianity calls us beyond these words and beyond these things. Christianity calls us to be strong, to be a united community. And there is no getting around the words of Jesus today. There's no watering down this message. I'm sorry. This is it, folks. This is the message. The right thing to do is rarely the easy thing to do. But if we are Christians, truly Christians, there is no choice. The gospel is not ordinary. Being a disciple is not living an easy, comfortable life. It is a constant surrender, a surrender to our fears, our insecurities, our faults, our loneliness, and our pain. But this gospel does allow us to live a new way, a new life in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.